Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 19a. Hear the word of the Lord. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for being in this place. We thank you for surrounding us with your love. We pray now that you will inspire us, open our hearts and our minds as we receive your word. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, and then verses 36 through 43. And this will sound very similar to last Sunday's reading. It is the continuation of Jesus telling parables of a farmer. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.' Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but of all of the parables Jesus tells, this one about the weeds growing among the wheat irritates me the most. In many situations, I want to have happen what the farmhands in the story are ready to do. I want to go out and pull up the weeds, throw it out, see the world free from this scourge, and to do all of this immediately. But that is not how the story goes. The landowner won't allow such direct action. In the face of this, maybe we need to take a look at this story more carefully. Two topics deserve more explanation than this parable may raise, or that may be obvious. The first is the weeds, and the second one is the landowner's words themselves. Now let's look at the weeds first. The gardeners among us may raise a suspicious eyebrow at not pulling out the weeds until harvest time. I mean, surely this is no way to run a farm or to care for a garden. But consider the weeds that have grown up in the wheat. I had to do a little extra research on this particular passage this Sunday. You see, in the passage, the word that is used for weed is actually the Greek word zizania. And when you do a little research on the term zizania, it is a particular type of weed. It is what we know today as darnel, or bearded darnel. And so when I looked in another commentary to look more closely at this particular weed, listen to what it says. The bearded darnel is a devil of a weed. It defies Ralph Waldo Emerson's claim that a weed is a plant whose virtues have yet to be discovered. Known in biblical terms as tares, bearded darnel has no virtues. Its roots surround the roots of good plants, sucking up precious nutrients and scarce water, making it impossible to root it out without damaging the good crop. Above ground, darnel looks identical to wheat until it bears seed. And those seeds can actually cause everything from hallucinations to death. No wonder Jesus uses this noxious cheat weed to illustrate evil incarnate. Bearded darnel, also known as false wheat, is the botanical equivalent of the ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. And so when you understand the specific type of weed that Jesus is referring to in this parable, you understand that at first glance, it looks identical to the wheat. You can't tell them apart. But it's once the seed develops, one seed is good for food, the other is actually toxic. So the weeds can be separated from the wheat only at the proper time, following the harvest. Now this brings us to something the landowner says. He says, let them grow together until the harvest. This may make sense to us in the context of growing wheat in a field where there are weeds. Where it dismays us is elsewhere in the world, where we want to clean house or at least expect God to do so. From our perspective, who are the weeds growing like crazy in the wheat field of the world? These are the plants we want to yank out by the roots. These are the people we want to lock up and then throw away the key. These are the people who murder and steal. These are the people who have no consideration for the rights of others. Or at a lesser level, perhaps these are the people who are rude and arrogant. Perhaps these are the people who don't think like we do, or don't worship the way we do. Perhaps these are the people who honk their horn when they don't like the way we drive. We want the wheat field of the world to flourish with wheat and not to be scarred by weeds. Why doesn't God do something about those people, whoever they are? Where is God when they offend our sense of decency? Well, the parable does not deny that there are weeds in the wheat. It does not suggest for a moment that the world is free from evil. Instead, the weeds are all too visible. The landowner knows what's happened. An enemy has done this. Yes, the world is a terribly broken place, and what is meant to be a wheat field is hosting countless weeds. And so we hear from the landowner, let both grow together until the harvest. Now this may perplex us. This may baffle us. It sounds as if the landowner is resigned to letting his fertile field become little more than a weed patch. As we have looked carefully at the weeds, so we must now look carefully at a particular word. The word is the one which in this translation is rendered as let, as in let both grow together until the harvest. Again, going back to the Greek here for the word let is aphiemi. Now, the original Greek word is one with a wide range of meanings, and one major meaning appears in this translation, let, in the sense of allow or permit. But when you look closely at this word, it has another meaning that is also used elsewhere in Scripture, elsewhere in the teachings of Jesus. This word also can be rendered forgive or pardon. It is the same word that is used when Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, saying, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So let both grow together until the harvest carries in the original language a sense of forgiveness toward the malicious enemy. In this view, God the landowner practices forgiveness and patience. By his example, the same approach is recommended to us. Certainly, this patience and forgiveness appears to be how God functions in the world. Look around you and see everywhere in the world the weeds and the wheat growing together. Sometimes in dramatic, horrible ways, sometimes in ordinary, everyday ways. And you and I, sometimes we are wheat and sometimes we are weeds. Saint Augustine, in commenting on this particular parable, makes the same point when he says, there is this difference between people and real grain and real weeds. For what was grain in the field is grain, and what were weeds are weeds. But in the Lord's field, which is the church, at times what was grain turns into weeds, and at times what were weeds turn into grain. And no one knows what they will be tomorrow. God gives us all amazing latitude to make choices, to do right, even to do wrong, to the point of inflicting grievous harm on others. And God does not pull people out of the mire of their mistakes by condemning them, but by forgiving them. It's a strange way to run the world, and sometimes it seems scandalous to us. Often we would like the Lord to hurl thunderbolts only at our enemies and not at us. But the record indicates God works differently than that. The most convincing entry in this record is the story of Jesus. And what does he teach? Nowhere does he even suggest that in this life we get paid back in kind for the evil we have done. Instead, he goes around telling strange and scandalous parables about patience and forgiveness, like the one today about a landowner who suffers the weeds and the wheat grow together through the many months leading up to harvest. But Jesus doesn't rest content with parables. When his enemies nail him to the cross, he forgives them. Risen from the dead, he forgives those disciples who skipped out on him during his hour of need, and he sets them up in the business of spreading his forgiveness to anybody who will listen. Once the harvest is in, the weeds will be recognized for what they are, and they'll be thrown into the fire. There's mercy, but there's also justice. There's a God who welcomes us with open arms, and there are some of us, just maybe, who will always insist on keeping our distance. Wheat and weeds. Who's one and who's another? Augustine reminds us that no one knows what they will be tomorrow. Yes, there is something greater than justice here. There is divine forgiveness, the willingness to let weeds and wheat grow together for a season because they are somehow inseparable, and the recognition that revenge resolves nothing, but it only increases the evil. Whether we are always capable of living in the light of that truth, it is clear from this parable, clearer still from the cross, that forgiveness and forbearance are God's way of working with a broken world. This approach may leave us profoundly uneasy, even at odds with God at times, but without this forbearance, this forgiveness, no one of us stands a chance. Our preoccupation with the weeds must not prevent us from recognizing the wondrous conclusion of this parable. How indeed the harvest happens. An abundance of wheat is gathered in, enough to make landowner and farmhands rejoice together. The weeds in the field have no power to stop the realization of this bounty. The seed was good, and it bore, through adversity, a fruitful harvest. And so the parable ends on a note of brilliant triumph about that harvest. The righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Evil is real, but it never has the last word. Greater by far are those who shine in their Father's kingdom, those who reflect the bright light of divine compassion. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. God, our faithful shepherd, we depend on you for everything we need, for daily food, for guidance and protection, for healing in injury and comfort in sorrow. You respond in abundant provision. Thank you for your tender care of us. Thank you for soothing the wounds of this life. Thank you that in the presence of enemies, especially the last enemy of death, you are there with us as shepherd, host, and home. Knowing your faithfulness in our lives, we bring before you the lives of others and the cares of the world, entrusting all things to your goodness and mercy. Bring healing to those who are ill in mind, body, or spirit. Bring release to those who are held captive by old hurts or new bonds that oppress and entangle. Bring freedom to those unjustly accused, relief to those burdened with debt, comfort to all who suffer from the abuse of any kind. We pray for people living precariously in the midst of war. Protect, we pray, citizens and soldiers alike. And teach us to proclaim words of peace and reconciliation. Loving God, help us to see the world as you see it, to see others as you see them, and to see ourselves rightly too. Because you have come into this world for judgment, we can leave your judgments behind. Pursue us with your goodness and faithful love until goodness and faithful love fills every heart and informs every action. We pray these things in the name of the one who came that we might see, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray now the beautiful prayer he taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.